forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to see today how deep and how wide and how high is the mercies of God. Lord, may the truth of your mercies grip our hearts. Lord, may we leave this place today knowing that we have experienced your mercy. And then, God, help us to extend it to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're in a series called The Blessings of Mercy. And today, if you will grasp what God has to say about mercy, it will change your life. Today, I want you to know when you leave, I want you to know that you've experienced God's mercy. Not only that, but I want you to not only know it, but I want you to feel God's mercy. And then I want you to extend that mercy to others. This past week, one day I got up, took a shower, was in my study, and it was lunchtime. I got up, made me a sandwich, went outside and walked around a little bit, came back in and sat down to study, and I found a tick on it. Well, I reached over there, picked the tick up, flushed him down, sent him to septic tank heaven. Went back, I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm studying, and all of a sudden I feel something over here, feel something over there, and all of a sudden I just felt like there's critters all over me. So you know what I did? In the middle of the day, I went and took another shower. Now, I was clean, but it didn't feel clean. Okay? But then what happened was I did something, not only that I was clean, but I felt clean. And so today we want you to experience God's mercy. We want you to know God's mercy. But we want you to leave today feeling forgiven by God's mercy. Now, I want to do a little review here. What do we mean by mercy? Number one, it is undeserved forgiveness. God's going to forgive me even though I haven't done anything to deserve it. And then a second part of it is unearned kindness. So when God shows you kindness and God forgives you, this is what we mean by the word mercy. But notice there's two parts, God putting mercy into our lives and us putting mercy into other people's lives. Let's begin with God's mercy. The first thing I want you to see is God readily forgives you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17. But you are a God of forgiveness, always ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and full of love and mercy. You didn't abandon them. I don't want you to raise your hand if you are an early arriver. That is, you like to get to place early, okay? You're an early arriver. All right, now put your hand down. I'm going to ask you a second question, but do not raise your hand, okay? Are you married to a always late person? Doesn't God have a sense of humor, huh? So you're this early arriver. You can't stand to be late, but God has put you with somebody that can't be on time for anything. And so you have a conversation. It's like this. Hey, we need to get ready. Are you ready? Come on, chop, chop. We need to go. We're going to be late. Well, the reason that I say that is I want you to know that God is always, always ready to extend mercy to you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to show you mercy. God doesn't have to get ready. God is ready to give you mercy. But it gets better. Notice here what the prophet Micah says in chapter 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You understand that God delights to forgive you? God delights to show you mercy? I want you to think about that for a moment. What do you delight in? I mean, what gets your motor running? I mean, what, like, whoo, you get happy and excited. So it delights you. I know some guys, and they delight in getting up before the sun comes up to go into a tree stand to wait on Bambi. That just delights them. Oh, I can't wait to get out in the woods. Some of you say, oh, that's not me, you know, but if I could get out on the lake, if I could get out on the water, okay, oh, that's what delights me. For some of you, you like to crush a golf ball. If I can just get out there on the golf course. I see some of you, that doesn't delight you at all. Maybe you like to go to the beach and put your toes in the sand. Does that delight you? Well, think about it. God delights to show you mercy. I'm going to tell you all a little story on my wife. Tomorrow's our anniversary, okay? So maybe I can get some mercy for telling you this story. Anyhow, my wife's not a big fan of technology, and she had one of these old phones, and it broke. And she went down to the store. I went with her, and she said, I don't want one of them fancy phones. I just want a phone to make a phone call. I don't text. I don't take pictures. I don't do movies. Just give me a phone. The guy looked at it and said, ma'am, that's obsolete. We don't make those anymore. And so she comes out with a smartphone. And you know why they call them smartphones? They make you feel dumb. Like, okay? And she comes out with a smartphone. Well, over a period of time, she learns to do a little texting, but, you know, mainly use the phone. And then she learned how to take a picture or two. But, hey, I got a digital camera. I don't need to do that on my phone. But then we went to the Holy Land a couple years ago. And she found out that her phone actually took better pictures than her camera. So she's snapping pictures, and we get back from the Holy Land, and she's so excited. Say, oh, here, let me show you. Here's the Sea of Galilee. Oh, we're out. And, you know, she's going over all that stuff. But 19 months ago, God blessed us with a grandchild. And my wife turned into the paparazzi. Okay? I mean, it's like, I mean, you know. And then the next thing I know, she said, we got to go back down to Verizon. I got to get a new phone. I said, why? She says, well, it's got a better camera. It holds more pictures. And she takes those pictures of Isaac. And she says, oh, look, here's a picture of him. Oh, here's, and look at there. There's me a picture. You know what? She put her picture on my phone of him, okay? And it's like, look. Well, think about it. If God's got a smartphone, your picture is on God's smartphone. And I imagine God goes around and he says to the angel, oh, look here. And let me tell you what God shows off. He shows off when he shows mercy to you. Oh, look at here. Here's when I showed mercy to Lee. Oh, here's when I showed mercy to Gwen. God delights in showing you mercy. If this would ever get a grip in your heart, you see, when we offend somebody, we don't want to go around them because we feel guilty. But you know what? We are attracted to people who show us love and kindness and consideration. So you see, if you've got guilt in your life because there's things you've done and you haven't received God's mercy, you don't want to hang out with God. But when you understand, he delights to show you kindness. He delights to show you mercy. He delights to forgive you. So we see here that God readily forgives us. Then secondly, God freely forgives you. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, yes, all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious ideal. Yet now God declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his kindness freely takes away our sins. You understand that it's free. God just gives it to you. You don't earn, you don't deserve his kindness, you don't deserve his mercy. God just gives it to you as a free gift. He says, and I declare you not guilty. Any of you remember the trial of O.J. Simpson? You remember when the verdict was handed down? Did any of you, when the verdict was handed down, say, oh, he's guilty? But see, the jury said he is not guilty. Well, guess what? God looks at your sin, and when you say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, God declares you not guilty. You might say, oh, but I have really messed up. But God says, not guilty. It is a free gift from God. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because it's free doesn't mean it's cheap. It costs God everything. It costs Jesus His life on the cross in order to extend to you kindness and mercy. Church, I want to take a time out. I want you to turn around and look who's walking in the church today. This is Angela, who we've been praying for weeks. Folks, there's a miracle. There's a miracle. We've been praying for miracles, and there's a miracle. But notice here, God freely gives you mercy. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. God just gives it. He replaces guilt and shame and fear with love and joy and peace. So notice here, God readily forgives. God freely forgives. And then thirdly, God immediately forgives you. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive. When you say, God, have mercy on me, God doesn't say, oh, I have to think about this and get back with you. No, God does it right away. You remember when the woman was caught in adultery? Jesus said, where are your accusers? Do none condemn you? She said, none, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Do you understand that when you and I come to God and we say, God, have mercy on me, immediately God forgives us. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Who is this guy? He was being crucified by Jesus. He was a homegrown terrorist is what he was. He was an insurrectionist. And yet Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Immediately God forgave him. And when you and I go to God, immediately, God doesn't wait a day, a week, a year, a season. Right then, God says, neither do I condemn you. And then number four, and this is the best part, and that is God completely forgives you. In Colossians 2, verse 13, you were dead because of your sins. That is, spiritually, you're dead to God. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. For He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I want you to circle the word all. What does He do? He forgives us of all of our sin. Not some of our sin, not most of our sins, not the little white sins, but all of the sins. God forgives us completely. And then notice there, He says He cancels the record. Where do we usually keep records at? In a file cabinet, right? All right, so what I have done is I've brought a little roll around a file cabinet from my office. The Bible says that He cancels all of the records. And so I'm going to open this up. I'm going to get out a file. And I want you to think about it. God's got a file in heaven. And it's got all the charges against you. And when you say, God, have mercy on me, you know what God does? He takes this file and He goes over here. Notice this right here. I'm going to stick it right here in this shredder. You hear that sound? That's the sound of mercy. Now, all the charges against me are gone. Listen, it's just not that I'm not guilty. Guess what? All of the evidence against me has been destroyed. That's called the mercies of God. Listen, I'm not guilty. There's no mercy. And listen, there's no double jeopardy. You can never bring them up again. Oh, isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? But listen, there's more. Notice here what he says, the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. You will have mercy on us again. Aren't you glad God gives you mercy more than once? You will conquer our sins. You will throw away all of our sins until the deepest part of the sea. The deepest part of the sea is called the Mariana Trench. It is 36,070 feet deep. Well, how deep is that? If you took Mount Everest and you flipped it upside down, you'd have to go another mile down into the ocean before you ever reached the bottom. Engineers say that the water pressure there is so high that there's nothing can live there. It is 16,000 pounds per square inch of pressure. Engineers have calculated that if you were to put your head on the ground and stack 100 elephants on top of your head, that's how much pressure is in the deepest part of the sea. And by the way, it's pitch black dark. That means you can't see anything. All right? Now remember this. There's no record, there's no evidence, there's no charges. But listen, he's put it down there in the deepest part of the sea. Nobody can reach it. If they reached it, they couldn't read it. They couldn't see it. God forgives you completely. And then lastly, James 2:13 says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Notice here he's talking about two things, judgment and mercy. Now you might be thinking, hey, listen, if God just lets you off scot-free, well, that's just not fair. I mean, you've done wrong. You need to be punished. Something here is not... That's not justice. We're not talking about justice. We're talking about mercy. And notice here, mercy triumphs over judgment. That's wonderful. I hope you get a grip of this. Let me illustrate it to you. We got any Carolina fans in here? Okay, got a few. Got any Duke fans? Yeah, got a couple Duke fans, too. Well, you know what makes it interesting to watch men's basketball between Duke and Carolina? You never know who's going to win. In other words, one to win this time, one to win this time, one to win next time. Let me give you an example from this year. On March the 4th, Carolina beat Duke 90-83. 6 days later, on March the 10th, Duke beat Carolina 93-83. See, you just don't know. I mean, you know, it could go either way. And get this, 77% of every conference championship has either been Carolina or Duke. Every tournament champion, 59% of the time, it's Duke or it's Carolina. That's what makes it entertaining. You never know how it's going to turn out. But can I tell you, in God's court, when judgment comes up against mercy, mercy wins every time. Isn't that awesome? Now, it might be boring entertainment to watch on TV, but it feels good when you go before God and mercy always wins. Well, once you and I receive mercy from God, He wants us to show mercy to other people. I found it real easy to enjoy God's mercy, and a lot harder to give it away to certain people. But notice that's a part of the model prayer in Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And what I've seen in the church is a lot of people have a misunderstanding about what it means to show mercy. Well, I'm not going to forgive that person. What they did was really bad. I mean, they hurt you, they abused you, they've done something and you can't get past it, so I'm not going to show them mercy. God says we're to show them mercy. Well, what does mercy look like? A lot of people have a wrong idea. So you got a pop quiz there in your outline. But don't sweat. I'm going to let you grade you on paper. Okay? And if you don't do so good, just show yourself a little mercy. Okay? Number one. And don't say the answer out. Just circle it. Okay? We'll see how you do when we get to the end. A person should not be forgiven until he or she asks for it. You got to confess and repent first. Number two, you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. God doesn't remember it. Number three, forgiving includes minimizing the offense and the pain it caused. You just got to overlook it. Number four, forgiveness includes trust and reuniting a relationship. Number five, and when I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. All right, now if you put them all false, give yourself an attaboy. Okay, pat yourself on the back. Because they're all false according to the Word of God. Let me take the last one. It says, when I see someone hurt, it's my duty to forgive the offender. Okay, so Lee, you offend Bill. Bill's feelings hurt. Lee, I forgive you. Well, you see, I can't forgive you. You didn't hurt my feelings. The only person who can forgive you is the person you offended. You see there? But we get it in our mind that we got to forgive everybody. Listen, the only person you can forgive is the one who's offended you. So let's look at what does it look like when we forgive others. Number one, your forgiveness is not conditional. Ephesians 4:32. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. They've hurt you. They've disappointed you. They've let you down. And you're going to show them mercy? Well, they don't deserve it. Well, that's the whole point. Mercy means you don't deserve it. It's kindness and forgiveness that is not deserved. I have a story here from Corey Tim Boone. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I did at the first service. I'm going to summarize it, just give you a quote at the end. Corey Tim Boone's family helped persecuted Jews during World War II. They were found out by the Nazis. They were arrested and put in concentration camps. During this time, Corey Tim Boone's sister died, and her family suffered greatly. After the war was over, she left Holland and went to Germany to speak about God's forgiveness. She is in a meeting there. She just finished. And she notices a guy coming towards her. And she recognizes him as the guard at Ravensbrück. And so she thinks, oh my goodness, he's going to come up here. And even though he was in everyday clothes, when she saw him, all she could picture is him in his uniform and the cruel things. She remembered being in the room where they had to take off all their clothes and pile it up. And she remembers having the shame of walking past him naked. And she's thinking, surely out of those thousands of women, he doesn't remember me. She said, but I remembered him. And said, as everybody else is going away, he's coming towards me. And he's got his hand extended. And she's thinking, you know, I just talked about God's mercy. And she said, but I felt in the inside of me, my veins and my heart were freezing as I had all of these bad feelings towards the guy who had been the guard there. She thought, oh, am I just supposed to forgive him because he says, oh, please forgive me? My sister suffered and died and I'm just supposed to let it go? Said he walked up and he said, that was a fine talk there, ma'am, about God's mercy. And said, I want you to know I was a guard at the concentration camp you referred to. And I did some horrible things. Since then, I've asked God to forgive me and I've become a Christian. And I came up here because, ma'am, I want to ask you to forgive me. I want to hear from your lips that you forgive me for what I did in the concentration camp. Said he had his hand stuck out. She said, I just fiddled in my pocketbook and tried to ignore him. But God was speaking to me, she says. You see, back in Holland, she had a home to help people to get through the trauma of the war. And so there were two kind of people. Those people that, with forgiveness and mercy, had let go and was trusting God and they had moved on. And then there was those people who had bitterness and resentment. She said they were invalids stuck in the past. She said, I knew I had to forgive him, but I didn't feel it. I didn't want to. And so he stuck out his hand again. And she said, at that moment, I realized that forgiveness was not a feeling. It was a choice. And in my mind, I had to choose to forgive this fella. And she said, so I stuck out my hand woodenly, mechanically, and said, God, help me. And these are her own words. So woodenly and mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bring tears in my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all of my heart. And for a long moment, we just grasped each other's hands. The former guard, the former prisoner, I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Did he deserve it? No. Did she want to do it? No. Did God want her to do it? Yes. Did she obey God? She did. And when she did, what happened? God blessed her, God blessed him, and God worked in that situation. See, some of you are here today and you're holding on to a past resentment and bitterness. And I want you to know it's poisoning your relationship with God. It's poisoning your relationship with your family. It poisons every relationship in your life. And God is saying to you, show mercy. Show mercy. Forgive that person. Oh, but they'll get off, God. No, they won't. I'm going to show you why in a moment. Secondly, forgiveness is not forgetting what's been done to you. Paul's last letter before he died, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Paul forgiven him? Yes. Had Paul forgot about it? No, he still remembered it. Scientists tell us that everything in your brain is still there. You can't forget stuff. Clint, remember that next time you go to the store. You can't forget stuff. It's up there somewhere. Now, you might not be able to go to the file and retrieve it, but it's all up there somewhere. And when you've had a traumatic experience, you just can't forget it. You can forgive them. You can show mercy, but it doesn't mean you forget as if it never happened. In 1994, the great Rwanda genocide took place. Over 1 million people were killed in less than 100 days. Finally, the people came together and said, we will not survive if we keep doing this. We're going to have to come together. We're going to have to forgive each other and allow God to heal our nation. It started in the churches and went all the way through the government. And so today, that country is doing well. They have rebounded. They're revived. Things are going well in Rwanda. But you know what? So they wouldn't forget it, they built a memorial. It's called the Genocide Memorial. That is, they never want to forget, so they never repeat it. The parliament was shot up during this 100 days. They've never repaired the bullet holes. Why? They want to remember. But get this. All of this happened in April. And so in Rwanda to this day, April is a month of mourning. Did you know that nobody's allowed to have a wedding in April in the country of Rwanda? Why? Well, wedding's a celebration. We're going to mourn all of these people who died. And we're going to remember mercy and forgiveness. And then number three, forgiveness is not trusting the other person. In verse 15, you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. What is Paul saying? I have forgiven him. I've extended mercy to him. I've not forgot about it, but I certainly don't trust him. As a matter of fact, I don't trust him, but I would advise you not to trust him as well. You see, sometimes we get it in our head that somebody's hurt us really, really bad, and because I have forgiven them, all of a sudden I got to let them back into my life. I got to trust them all over again, and they get to hurt me again. Listen, mercy does not mean you're a doormat, okay? Mercy means you've let it go and given it to God. I've got a relative of mine, and I don't advise doing this, but this relative is single. And they'll go online using these certain apps and meet complete strangers, chat it up with them, and then rendezvous with a complete stranger. I keep telling them, this is not wise. You can end up in a shallow grave. You see, trust is earned. Forgiveness is given. You don't give somebody trust. They got to earn it. So if they have violated your trust, you forgive them, you extend mercy, but you don't trust them unless they re-earn it. Trust is earned, forgiveness is given. And then lastly, what is forgiveness? What does it look like? Well, forgiveness is just releasing it to God. In Romans 12:19, dear friends, never avenge yourself, leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Now let me ask you something. That person has hurt you, that you hadn't shown mercy, you hadn't forgiven them, you're nursing it, you're holding on to it. How's that working out for you? If you could repay them back, do you think you could do a better job at it than God could? Of course not. Just release it to him and let God take care of straightening that person out. Listen, for some of you, the person who hurt you is dead and gone. Why let them mess up your present? Just forgive them. Turn it over to God and move on. Release it to him. You see, resentment doesn't work. Revenge doesn't work. Bitterness doesn't work. The only person that hurts is you. You ever been to the ocean? Been out there playing in the water? I used to do that a lot before I watched Jaws. Now, you know, it's about knee deep. That's as far as I want to go out in the ocean. But anyway, have you ever been out there and you're out there and all of a sudden you turn around and you think, oh, how did I get way down here? It's called an undertow. You know what happens? The undertow grabs you. You don't even realize it's doing it. And it pulls you farther away and pulls you down. And you end up in a place you don't want to be. Do you know what bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness is? It's an undertow. It'll pull you down. It'll pull you away from God. It'll pull you away from the people you love. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you'll end up in a place you don't want to be. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. On June 17, 2015, a white supremacist by the name of Dylan Roof went into Emmanuel AME Church, an African-American congregation. He sat down for the Bible study, joined hands with them while they prayed, and then when he got up, he shot everybody in the church. 9 of those people died. He fled from the scene and was arrested right up the road in Shelby, North Carolina. When he was being arraigned for these 9 murderers, Nadine Collier was there. This guy killed her mother. In front of the court, in front of national cameras, here's what she said. I wrote it down. She said, I forgive you. You took something precious from me. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of other people. But God forgives you, and I forgive you. The next day, the New York Times, probably the most liberal newspaper in America, put this. Yesterday, in the courtroom, it was if the Bible study had never ended. Listen, the liberal New York Times were impressed because a group of people showed mercy and forgiveness to somebody who did not deserve it. You understand, the New York Times is not impressed by your Christian orthodoxy, but they were impressed by mercy and forgiveness to somebody who didn't deserve it. Dylann Roof, in his online social media pictures, had pictures of him with a Confederate flag. Days after the Charleston massacre, the Confederate flag was taken down from the capital of South Carolina. 53 years the NAACP had fought to have it taken down. I want you to know the Democrats fought to have it taken down. The independents, the Republicans, what the politicians couldn't do, a small group of people who loved God and showed mercy was able to do in a state that politics could not accomplish. Now, folks, if it'll do that in a political theater, what will it do in your life when you show mercy? When you extend forgiveness to people that do not deserve it. Well, like I said, I want you to know that you're forgiven. I want you to feel forgiven. And here's how I want you to do that. You have a worksheet in the middle of your outline, and it says, Mercy Forgives Worksheet. There's two places in there. One is where do I need God's mercy? What have you done in your life where there's shame, there's guilt, there's fear, and you need God's mercy? Now, I know people are right close to you, so you probably are not going to write these sins out, but maybe you'll just put some initials, or you'll put a little chicken scratch on there that only you know what it means. But what area of your life do you need to know that God has forgiven you? What part of your past do you need God to forgive? And then secondly, those people that have hurt you, taken something precious from you, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to show mercy for? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to put their initials right down there. And then in a moment, we're going to pray. And after we pray, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to take this sheet. There's a shredder over here, and there's a shredder over there, and it's automatic. And I want you to just come up and say, God, I need mercy. Have mercy on me. God, have mercy on these people. And let it go. Let God clear the record. Let God destroy the evidence. Would you bow your head? Nobody's looking around. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to say thank you that you want to forgive us. That God, you are ready to extend mercy. That God, you delight in showing us mercy. God, that you will freely forgive us, that you will completely forgive us of all sin. So, Lord, help us to bring that sin to you right now. And then, God, because we're human and other people are human, Lord, we also have people that have hurt us. God, I pray that you would help us right now, like Corey Tim Boone, who doesn't feel like doing it. God, may we choose to show kindness, choose to show mercy, choose to extend forgiveness. Help us, God, to know we have received your mercy. Help us, God, to feel we are forgiven as we reach out to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.